John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drop?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are news from the front line. We can be reached at WSQTRadio@hushmail.com, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Wednesday, January 19th, 2011. After publicly announcing his resignation from the Labor Party, Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak announced on Monday the birth of a new party running under his command called Independence Party. On Tuesday, in the Gaza Strip, one resident was killed and two children were wounded after the Israeli army bombarded an area in the north of the Strip. In a symbolic move towards the recognition of an independent Palestinian state, the Palestinian mission in Washington raised the Palestinian flag outside its office building. A number of teachers working in Jewish schools in Israel stated that more instances of racism are reaching alarming levels as more students are going as far as advocating killing Arabs. The teachers found graffiti written on school walls and even on exam papers. The most famous graffiti was, "Death to Arabs." On Wednesday, Israeli soldiers kidnapped more than 14 Palestinian youths, all under the age of 21, apparently for their affiliation with the Fatah movement and the leftist Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, PFLP. The kidnappings took place near Nablus. The World Zionist Organization's WZO Settlement Division is again under the control of the Israeli Prime Minister's office after a period of nearly 4 years with the Agriculture Ministry. One of the first decisions made by the newly configured coalition government was to return the WZO's Settlement Division to the Prime Minister's office. According to data from 2008, the average gross salary per household was much lower for Arabs, 8,818 shekels compared to 14,242 shekels for Jews. Yet the data shows that Arab men worked longer hours, 55.6 hours per week compared to 51.8 hours for Jews. Arab women have substantially lower employment rates. Only 22% of Israeli Arab women were employed that year, while 66.6% of Jewish women were working that year. That sums up our news for today. Thank you for joining us from Occupy Bethlehem. You have been listening to Palestine Today from International Middle East Media Center. For more updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. This report has been brought to you by Hussam Cassis and Ramona M.
to Crete, Iraq, Monday. Major Michael S. Everts died from a non-combat-related injury in Tikrit, Iraq, on Monday, the 17th of January. Mosul, Iraq, Saturday. An Iraqi soldier opened fire on U.S. soldiers during a training exercise, killing two of them and wounding a third before being killed in turn. According to sources, he had to smuggle live ammunition onto the U.S. base. This means U.S. allied Iraqi government soldiers are not trusted with possession of live ammunition on U.S. bases. Iraq, Saturday. Reuters reported the death of a U.S. soldier, quote, while conducting combat operations somewhere in central Iraq, presumably on Friday, the 14th of January. Unclear if this refers to the same or a different incident. Afghanistan, Tuesday. NATO is reporting the death of an Italian soldier from an insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in western Afghanistan. Diyala Province, Iraq, today. A suicide bomber rammed an ambulance packed with explosives into a security headquarters on Wednesday, killing 13 people and wounding 64 in the second major attack against Iraqi government forces in as many days. Crete, Iraq, yesterday. A suicide bomber detonated a bomb vest in a crowd of police recruits on Tuesday, killing at least 45 people, officials reported. The death toll was still rising more than 3 hours after police said the bomber joined a crowd of more than 100 recruits and blew himself up outside the police station in Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit, some 80 miles north of Baghdad. Tikrit police put the death toll at 45 with 140 wounded. Pakhtunkhwa Province, Pakistan, today. Another U.S. drone strike killed at least 5 people. Pakistan, Friday. At least 16 NATO oil tankers were burned by unidentified attackers in Pakistan's Balochistan province. The incident occurred Friday night in the Mangoli area of Dera Murad Jamali City, in which one of the drivers was injured, while the fire also engulfed a nearby hotel, the Express Tribune reported. Pakistan, yesterday. Unidentified assailants burned 2 more NATO oil supply tankers in Balochistan. Sounds like there is a militia specializing in tanker interception there. Afghanistan, Saturday. 7 Afghan taxi drivers were killed Friday by insurgents and suspected snitches, suspected of spying for the government. They were forced into a vehicle and then made to drive over a roadside bomb, a government official reported. Their taxi cabs were then set on fire. Mr. Barack Obama, do these sound like wars you can win? If not, now's the time to pull the plug. Bring all the troops home today.
And no amount of money you could give me, honey, couldn't pay me. Ain't going back again. I ain't going back again. I ain't going back again. You won't see me back there again. No, you won't see me back there again.
January 11th, 2002. Guantanamo Bay opened for business thanks to George W. Bush. January 11th, 2011. 9 years later, President Obama has still not delivered on his campaign promise to close the torture chambers at Guantanamo Bay. And the cages still ring with the cries of the tortured.
All right, again. Do it again.
On January 11th, 2011, 173 protesters in orange jumpsuits and black hoods showed up in front of Obama's White House, one for every man still held in that hellhole at Guantanamo Bay. They turned their backs on a promise-breaking president by marching away to blockade the entrances of the Department of Justice with sit-ins instead.
It's been a greater disappointment than Barack Obama. But Eric Holder is running a close second. So I'd like to ask these guys who are representing the 103 Muslim men still detained at Guantanamo, if you would please take off your hoods. And let America see the American citizens who come from all around this country to decry the policies that allow cruel, inhuman, degrading treatment of prisoners, that allow the torture of prisoners, that allow for no investigations of those tortures.
The things that really strike me are that last year, the results of a four-year investigation, an internal investigation into the lawyers in the Office of Legal Counsel who wrote the torture memos, the memos that attempted to redefine torture so that it could be practiced by the CIA, John Yoo and J.S. Bybee. The four-year investigation concluded that they were guilty of professional misconduct. But Attorney General Eric Holder allowed a man called David Margolis to rewrite the conclusion to that report and to suggest that actually you and Bybee were only guilty of poor judgment because of the pressures that they were under. That was a terrible failure.
Terrible.
Attorney General Eric Holder inherited a department here at the Department of Justice that was reviewing the Guantanamo cases, that was preparing for the challenges to the detention that were mounted by the prisoners in the district court. And he made no changes to the setup that was in place when President Bush was in power. Lawyers here in the Justice Department have been pursuing the cases in the district court without any regard as to whether there is a case to be answered for any of these men, whether these men should be freed rather than have their detention challenged. And this has proceeded to this day. President Obama established a task force to review the cases of the Guantanamo prisoners to decide who should be freed and who should be held. But there has been no sign that there has ever been any cross-referencing between those findings and the ongoing habeas corpus petitions, where on a regular basis, Justice Department lawyers are sent to the district court to make the most implausible arguments. Sometimes they've been ridiculed out of court by the judges in an attempt to defend the detention of these men. So sadly, the Justice Department seems to have failed when it comes to the necessary efforts to close Guantanamo. And I really wish we could see some more independence.
In more than an hour and a half in the snow, and after three different deployment configurations, the police refused to arrest any of the protesters blockading the entrances to the Department of Justice. Probably they feared an ugly courtroom spectacle over the treatment of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Suppose Army recruiting ads had to have side effect warnings like drug advertisements on TV do.
The United States Army may not be right for every patient. Side effects can include distress, disillusionment, bitter resentment, isolation, traumatic and post-traumatic stress, sociopathic behavior, uncontrollable sobbing, uncontrollable violence, prosecutions for war crimes, prosecutions for domestic crimes, loss of contact with loved ones, loss of ability to love, brain injuries, blindness, depleted uranium poisoning, flashbacks, horror of death, horror of being away from death, loss of the use of limbs, loss of limbs, death, suicide, excruciating pain, the desire to feel excruciating pain, overwhelming rage and misery, loss of hearing, punishment by the Army for failure to obey illegal orders, punishment by courts of law or by enemy forces for obeying illegal orders. Torture, humiliation, shame, dangerous habits of blind subservience, or the wasting of what could have been the best years of your life. If you experience any of these symptoms, deal with it, sucker. You already signed your name on the dotted line.
On Martin Luther King's holiday, the 17th of January, protesters showed up both at the FBI's headquarters in D.C. and at Quantico Marine Barracks in Virginia, where Bradley Manning is being held, 7 months, no trial yet, incommunicado, isolated from day and night, on charges of passing documents to WikiLeaks.
These people want to punish. If they want to enforce laws, if they want to find criminals who are harming the world, we can start with some former employees from across the street. We can get them the addresses of Jay Bybee, of John Yoo, of Alberto Gonzalez, of Haynes, of Delahunty, of George W. Bush and Richard B. Cheney, and Cheney doesn't live far from here. So we are not opposed to the FBI enforcing laws. We just want them to start at the top instead of the bottom.
Especially when there are people of color, people of Arab or Muslim faith, people of Latino descent, when they see the police come, everybody's scared. What have we done? What have we done when we've created a culture where our youngest people are very afraid? And that's part of what we lose. So I don't speculate about what Martin Luther King might say today, but I want to bring that energy and spirit of justice, real security from the community out, back for us to hold on to and for everyone to help do their part to create that vision, that reality, and not a reality of fear, of a speculation. Thanks, y'all.
Hey. Thank you all very much for coming out today. We really appreciate it. Is there anywhere else we should be today than here on Martin Luther King Day supporting the number one prisoner of conscience in this country?
Quantico!
Bradley Manning is doing this for us. He's not a traitor. He's a patriot. He's trying to make this country a better country. He's trying to get the people of the United States to see what we are really doing around the world. He's trying to spread the word of truth and not let the propaganda of the Pentagon dominate the media. And our participation standing with him is critical to that. We need to stand with Bradley. He is doing this for us. If it was not for him, we would not know for sure that the State Department had been turned into a nest of spies. We had not would have not have seen the collateral damage video, where cloud murder video, where people where we see also our troops killing civilians wantonly. If what he's accused of doing is true, he is a true hero. He's paying for it right now in solitary confinement.
I'm out here from Berkeley, California. I'm the director of the National Accountability Action Network. We work for torture accountability for this gentleman who David just mentioned. David's contributing his book to a care package that we're giving to Bradley Manning today. We're going to do everything we can to get it to him. If you have something to go in that package, I just wanted to announce that I'll be collecting stuff at Quantico. Come with us to Quantico. Give me anything that you want to give to him. If you have a warm blanket, sheets.
How about a saw blade?
If you have exercise equipment, small exercise equipment to give to him, these are things he's being denied that we want to furnish to him in a humane way, something the military is not doing. Thank you very much.
After wrapping up at the headquarters of the FBI, once referred to by supporters of the Branch Davidians as the Federal Bureau of Incineration, protesters then pulled out to Quantico Marine Barracks, besieged the front gate, taken over about half the road, and attempted to deliver the care package to Bradley Manning. Here comes the second attempt to deliver the care package for Bradley Manning.
Take this to Bradley. Take the package. 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 Take the package for Bradley.
Take the package
for Bradley.
Take the package. We go.
Take. Take the package for Bradley!
Marines refuse to accept the care package for Bradley Manning, preferring to see him held in Guantanamo-like solitary confinement. Nonetheless, protesters did succeed in getting onto military property, occupying one side of the main access road to the main gate of Quantico Marine Barracks, a place where you don't see a lot of anti-war protesters very often. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are news from the front line. We can be reached at WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
In early January, suspected anti-Castro terrorist Luis Posada Carriles, implicated in the 1976 bombing of a Cuban airliner that killed over 70 people, went on trial in El Paso, Texas. Instead of being charged with terrorism or murder, Posada is facing allegations of fraud, including making false statements to authorities and using a phony passport. After being released from prison in Panama in 2004 for his attempt to assassinate Fidel Castro with 200 pounds of dynamite, Posada arrived in Miami and sought U.S. citizenship. After an international outcry, agents from the Department of Homeland Security questioned the Cuban exile in May 2005. He was later detained for illegally entering the United States. According to The Nation magazine, the U.S. Justice Department called a grand jury in New Jersey to investigate Posada's role in the bombing of a Havana hotel that killed an Italian businessman, but no indictments were made. In January 2007, Posada was indicted in El Paso, Texas, on 6 counts of making false statements. Later that same year, federal judge Kathleen Cordone dismissed the indictments, saying the government had violated Posada's legal rights. In 2008, the Fifth District Court of Appeals reinstated the charges against Posada, and the case went to trial. In a pretrial hearing, Judge Cardone allowed Posada's lengthy ties with the CIA, which dates back to the 1961 Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, to be used as evidence in the trial. In Havana, Cuban government officials have worked with teams of FBI agents and U.S. prosecutors and turned over 1,500 pages of evidence in the hotel bombing case. They also helped U.S. prosecutors contact some of Posada's accomplices who are still living in Cuba. Across the United States, Republicans who took control over state legislatures and governorships in the November election are pushing hard to enact tougher voter ID requirements. According to the American Prospect magazine, the legislative push on voter ID bills has already begun in North Carolina, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Kansas. Voting rights activists say that new voter ID laws discriminate against senior citizens, African Americans, and low-income voters. They also maintain that ID laws waste taxpayers' money at a time when many states face budget deficits. Critics like the progressive think tank Demos point to research showing there are few cases of people impersonating another registered voter at the polls. According to a study by Barnard College, there were only 24 convictions for illegal voting across the United States between 2002 and 2005, and most of those cases involved people who were not eligible to vote, a situation that could not be detected by voter ID laws. The 2008 U.S. Supreme Court case Crawford v. Marion County, which upheld Indiana's restrictive voter ID law, also required states to provide IDs to people who do not have one, money that could otherwise be spent on improving training for election workers and educating citizens about the voting process.
DJ Munch, Chocolate City, this is movement music.
Have you heard the news?
Walmart's coming.
Georgia Avenue, uptown, ain't that something?
Something.
Small businesses, shop owners, hearts pumping, cause they know their livelihoods is about to take a thumping.
Something.
See, you can't compete with a superstore who's an importer of slave laborers. Craftsmanship, low price to flip to undercut the market, hand over fist.
Walmart
is infamous for the way they behave. Low wage pay, treat the workers like slaves. Employees who try to
unionized. Yeah. Soon find themselves in unemployment lines. The way they treat women needs improving. 1.6 million sisters are suing them for being paid less than the male equivalent. On these issues and more, we can't afford to be ignorant.
Keep DC Walmart free. It won't benefit you or me. They ain't about spreading love in the community. They ain't about Chocolate City unity. Opportunists stop to make a buck quick. Suck up all your resources and then they split. They try to come across as if they legit, but really their motives are counterfeit.
This is the Funkinest Journalist with your three Walmart commandments. Step one, move in and crush competition by underselling. Step two, pay workers nothing and block unionization. Step three, take all that money, put it into the Walton Family Foundation, and turn that into political influence to protect yourself and make even more.
Walmart, it's not a good fit for Chocolate City. Let me holla black at you with the skinny. Important that you clearly understand and remember, DC doesn't work with the right wing agenda. The Walton families are big contributors to bigoted representatives and senators. Trent Lott, sinister. Strom Thurmond, similar. Confederate state loving George Bush ministers. Overseer plantation mentality results in black and brown casualties. Statehood opposition for the district has been supported by Walmart's mischief. The D.C. Voting Rights Act was defeated, assisted via Walmart PACs, and now they want to come here to see their money stack. Stay up on the facts. Chocolate City, don't relax and fight back.
Keep D.C. Walmart free. It won't benefit you or me. They ain't about spreading love in the community. They ain't about Chocolate City unity. Opportunists stop to make a buck quick. Suck up all your resources and then they split. They try to come across as if they legit, but really their motives are counterfeit.
Keep DC Walmart free is an emerging activist group of DC residents stepping up to challenge the corporate big box invasion of Chocolate City. Walmart has plans to establish 4 stores in DC by 2012. Walmart's in DC will threaten small businesses, cause loss of more jobs than it will bring to the community, and lower the wage standards for all workers. To find out more and get involved, visit walmartfreedc.org.
Welcome to War of the Trees on WSQT Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington.
There is unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees. For the maples want more sunlight and the oaks ignore their pleas.
In a world of corporate domination and utter ruin, whosoever shall have the courage to take direct action against those who are ruining our planet and our very lives.
On January 13th, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency reversed a permit approved in 2007 by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for the largest mountaintop removal operation in West Virginia, Arch Coal's Spruce No. 1 site, straddling Logan and Mingo counties in the coal mining southern region of the state. The agency cited concerns about the potential impact on both the environment and human health. Mountaintop removal entails using tons of dynamite to literally blow off the tops of mountains to mine the coal seams underneath, and then dumping tons of waste into valleys below, sometimes covering up headwater streams. Groups opposed to mountaintop removal celebrated this decision, but have opposed some EPA actions that have granted permits for other mining sites. Mountaintop removal opponents are working for a complete ban on the process. Coal interests and West Virginia's congressional delegation, which now includes former Democratic Governor Joe Manchin, who won the late Senator Robert Byrd's seat, are calling for legislation that would rein in the EPA. And Acting Governor Earl Ray Tomblin, along with the coal industry, West Virginia legislators, and labor unions, organized a rally on January 20th to demonstrate support for coal mining in the state. Between the lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Vernon Haltom, co-director of Coal River Mountain Watch, about the mixed messages in the EPA's rationale for reversing its Arch coal permit approval.
There were concerns about the cumulative impact on the streams, the water quality, the vast number of miles, you know, several miles of streams that would be buried in human health impacts. And we were glad that they included that information. What the politicians aren't telling people while they're ranting and raving about the EPA is that there was a plan that probably would have met EPA's approval. It still would have buried over 3 miles of streams, but it would have cost the company about 55 cents more per ton of coal to do this other plan. So it's not the bright shining light from the sky that the EPA is suddenly going to start vetoing permits in mountaintop removal. It's just that, well, Arch Coal didn't want to spend 55 cents per ton to go with the other mining plan.
Some opponents of mountaintop removal have been more enthusiastic than you are about the EPA's decision on the Spruce No. 1 mining site, but you're saying it was a really close call and it's not precedent-setting?
Well, back in April, I believe it was April 1st of 2010, the EPA announced these strict guidelines that they were going to be using to scrutinize permits. And Lisa Jackson stated at that time that no or very few valley fills would be permitted. The first permit that they applied this guidance to, they did approve. It was the Hobet 45 permit, and it was over 3 miles of streams that they approved to be buried. You know, going from 3 miles of unburied streams to 3 miles of buried streams is not an improvement. But what happened in that case was that the EPA and the coal company arrived at an agreement based on re-engineered mining plans. And a similar re-engineered mining plan was put forth for the Spruce No. 1 mine. In this case, the coal company did not want to go that route and instead chose to basically throw the game, make it look like the EPA was completely unreasonable and cast them in a bad light and give ammunition to the various politicians who are clamoring for the EPA to be gutted, essentially.
Vernon Haltom, I went on the Friends of Coal website and saw they're calling for Congress to rein in the EPA. Do you also expect coal interests to file a lawsuit against this EPA decision?
I think they're probably going to attack it in a couple of ways, possibly in the courts and definitely the legislators. You know, legislators from West Virginia, what they amount to is coal industry lobbyists on U.S. taxpayers' payroll. They will do what they can to try and strip the EPA of whatever powers that they have. And in this case, you know, it would be stripping them of the power to enforce under the Clean Water Act. I mean, the Clean Water Act is a U.S. law that applies to all of the country. And what they're trying to do is to make it very difficult for the EPA to actually enforce. And it could have vast consequences everywhere.
So what's the next step for those of you opposed to mountaintop removal?
We've sent out the word and sent word to EPA that we support their decision in this case and that they should take stronger steps, deny all mountaintop removal permits, and abolish the practice. It kills people. We're not talking about salamanders and minnows or mayflies. We're talking about actual people who breathe the dust clouds, who drink the water, who get flooded out of their homes and killed in floods. All these things that kill people, yet the industry wants to maintain that we don't exist. There's a lawsuit against the EPA based on their April 2010 guidelines that Governor Manchin filed, that the National Mining Association has filed, and I believe the state of Kentucky has filed against the EPA. And Coal River Mountain Watch has intervened in that lawsuit on behalf of the EPA. That's one thing we're doing, trying to, you know, stay in the legal loop there and intervene when we can. But this rally on Thursday, we are also showing up to have a counter rally. Acting Governor Tomlin told people to come and show the EPA the impacts of coal on the people of West Virginia. Well, what he meant was people who draw a paycheck from coal. I don't think he was counting on those of us who suffer negative impacts to show up.
That was Vernon Haltom of Coal River Mountain Watch. Contact the group by calling area code 304-854-2182 or visit their website at crmw.net.
Climate scientists in South Asia are making a new push to accurately document the loss of glacial ice in the eastern Himalayas, the water source for 1.3 billion people in South and Southeast Asia. Glaciers in the eastern Himalayas feed Asia's major river systems, including the Ganges in India, the Indus River in Pakistan, and the Mekong River, which runs from western China through Southeast Asia and spills into the South China Sea. In Nepal, the Imja Glacier is melting by 70 meters a year, reports the Interpress service. In Bhutan, bordering India and China, 25 glaciers have lost an alarming volume of glacial ice, shrinking by 20 to 30 meters a year. In recent years, there has been controversy over the quality of climate research on glaciers in the Himalayas, prompting a new effort to develop reliable climate models in the region. Some climate scientists fear that recent disputes involving China's dam building along the upper Mekong River will overshadow the need for better climate research and data collection.
They can't stop us, let them try, for heavy metal we will die.
13th of January, the siege of fortress continued as animal rights protesters showed up at the offices of Nomura, which shares a board of directors and is one of the largest stockholders in Fortress, the lifeline of puppy-killing Huntington Life Sciences.
I quit my job this morning.
I know.
Forever, I would hold my head up high.
Once and for all, 500 animals died today.
No!